So we begin today, Bezrat Hashem, Masechet Taharot. And, of course, the first thing that is very strange about Masechet Taharot is why it's called Masechet Taharot. I mean, the name of the Seder is called Taharot. It doesn't really make sense to call one of the Masechet Taharot in the context of Taharot. It's interesting. The Rambam actually discusses that in terms of Aristotelian logic, and he points out that that is absolutely acceptable where a prat within a general heading particularly expresses the idea you can call the prat al shem the heading. And that is not a violation of logical construction. Okay, that's an interesting thing. But of course, we still have to ask ourselves, why? Like, why all of a sudden are we talking about Taharot? I mean, after all, we did a lot of work on, we did Kalim, we did the Negoyim, we did Eyalos. I mean, these were like very serious things that had to do with Tuma and Tumas Meis and all of the most chashuv of Tumas. And so all of a sudden to come to like this more minor Masechet, which talks about much lesser dargas of Tumas, why in the world would we call it Taharot? So I want to suggest that the idea would be that the ultimate point of the whole Seder is really to be able to live within Das, which is what it's called, remember, right? That's the Chochmas Das, and Das is Seder Tyres. So that the Tachlis of Tyres is to be able to construct an environment for yourself in which you live within an awareness and a general space of livingness. Livingness is the entire sense that we have. The Or HaChaim is basically our Das, right? And therefore, the up until now, when we were talking about things that make things tummy, we were not getting to the bottom of the problem. Because the bottom of the problem is that as long as, let's say we are managed to get away from all inyanim of Tumas Meis, so all of the chumras of Eolois, including the chumras that we have about Beis HaPras and things and Tumas Eretz HaAmim, say we're able to get away from that. Can one say that one is fully alive and aware and walking in the brightness of Das? No, because there's so many other things that you'd also have to worry about that are just filthy. And filthy means filthy in a way that removes you from life. You have other things that are tummy. They may be tummy in ways that are much less chomer than mace. You could have an avela. Or, wow, you could even have a Nivlas Ha'of. And that is a wonderful way to start a Masechet like this. Because the Nivlat Ha'of is the weirdest and most non-Tameh thing of anything Tameh you could imagine. Why? Because if you touch a Nivlas Ha'of and you carry a Nivlas Ha'of, it has no impact on you whatsoever. It's not really Tameh. Weird. As long as it's a kosher bird. It only becomes tummy at the moment that you swallow it. So if you swallow it, at that minute as you swallow it, it's metame you. And at that minute, it turns into tuma in the sense that anything that you touch and your clothing and so on is all going to be tummy. It's like an unbelievable kind of extension. So if you're talking about totally keeping away from tuma, so then you've got to even talk about things that are going to affect your food. And that would be Tumas Eichlin. And then a fascinating Tumas Eichlin would be the one thing where the Eichlin itself is tummy because of what it is, right? Not because it was Mekabel Tuma. That is why we would begin this Masechet by discussing the uniqueness of the Nivlas of Atahor. So if we want to talk about a Masechet where you finally get to Tyres, as opposed to Tumas, dealing with the issues of Tuma. But what are the last things that you can get out of the way in order to remain Torah? It's interesting because this is sort of parallel to the way the Rambam constructed in Sefer Tyra, the Shar Avot HaTuma, the other Avot HaTuma, the other Avot HaTuma. So over here, in the Seder of Rebbe, of the Mishnayos, We have a Maseches Taharos that brings us as close as we can to a full environment of Tahara. So let's discuss, let's open our discussion.
Exactly. Maybe that stress is why Kalim is starting with Avos Tumos and 10 levels, because it's coming from the Tumas song.
Exactly.
Switching to
the Tumas. Exactly. So it's a beautiful way, actually, of constructing it. Now, let's also, before we begin the actual Mishnah, let's recognize that the Torah actually separates mamish into two separate parshas of the Torah, the dinim of nevelas. So in Shemini, where we have all of the discussion of the species that are tar v'tame, so over there, we also have the dinim of nevelas. So there it says, v'chol nefesh, asher tochal nevela, v'trefa, v'ezrach. No, sorry. There we have hanugea b'nevlata, Yitma ad ha'orev, anoseyet nivlata yechapes begadav, v'tame ad ha'orev. So that's talking about a regular nevela, which is a nevela of the behema. That is actually medame. That's a real chomer tuma. It's betame you b'marka, betame you b'masa. But then, when we get much later, now we're talking about the din in Achrei Mos, and we're talking about the various things that are the dam we talk about, and the way that shkutei chutz is like dam, and the dinim of achilas dam. All of a sudden, the Torah throws in those words of the chol nefesh asher tochal nevela v'treifa bezrach uvager v'chibes begadav v'rachatz b'mayim v'tamei ad ha'orev v'tayar. Now, this is obviously not the same thing that we talked about before in Shemini, because it's talking about eating, specifically eating. And it says that there's a dinner of Tumas Begadim. Let's talk about anything that has to do with carrying it or touching it. So actually, we understand that it means exactly what it says. Asher tochal. Now, you might think that it means the achila of a trefa that's not an avela. What would be the achila of a trefa that's not an avela? So if you were shochet, remember a trefa, it does not get a din of an avela. Shchita is motzi, something that is tahar, tahar in the sense of achila. It's motzi it from the dinim of nevela. So then, if it's motzi it b'dinim nevela, what kind of dinim of tumah would it have on it? Ah, from here we understand that the meaning of nevela v'treifa is to tell me that what we're talking about over here is the type of nevela that would be associated with a trefa if it hadn't been shechted. Now that tells us a very important halacha. It's not referring to an ov tameh, because an ov tameh does not have a dinner trefa at all. It's not a dinner trefa on minim tmeim. Therefore, what the Torah is basically telling us is that in the event that you have a min that is shayach to trefa, if it becomes an avela and you eat it, then there's a tuma that's associated with it. As opposed to a nivlas of tame, and which a nivlas of tame actually would not be included in these halacha at all. And since it uses the lashon of v'chol nefesh, kind of a strange way is that saying? Just say v'ochel, v'chol nefesh. So the din of v'chol nefesh asher tochal teaches me another very important halacha. And that tells me that even though it says eating, it doesn't mean putting it in your mouth and chewing. It means only at the moment where you have the, what the Gemara calls the Beit HaNefesh. Beit HaNefesh is where it's being swallowed. And the person begins to actually have hana'ah, pnimit, from it. But just when you put something in your mouth and you're chewing on it, even though you might call that eating, but that's not metame. Only the swallowing is metame. So then why does it say eating? So that teaches us another halacha. It comes to tell me that the shiur of the Beit HaBliya is kishir achila. So that if it's less than a kezayit, it's not metame, even if you're swallowing it. So that gives us just what, with these few remuzim in the pasuk, it gives us all of these beautiful insights into what we're talking about. So therefore, from treifa, we learn out that a niflas oif tame is not included in this din of tuma at all. And if you would be bolea a niflas oif tame, it would not be metame you. And only if you're bolea a nivlas of tahar, at the moment that you're bolea it, the din is that you become tame, and you're metame, you're begadim, and the din is not only metame, you're begadim, but this is a din of bechiburin, which means that anything that is connected to you at the moment of swallowing that oaf, it's at that moment that the oaf is able to project its tumah through you to anything. So your act of swallowing turns it into the oaf that is metame. And therefore, if you touch begadim or eichlin, all of those things, or even kalim, all of those things would be mekabel tumah at the moment of the blia. The moment that the blia is over, at that point, there's no longer an oaf to be metame. And therefore, you remain a rishon letumah, as if you were exposed to the oaf. It's an amazing new halacha. It's like a whole different way of looking at things. So the tumah comes into existence for that instant where it's in the Beit HaBliya. The moment it leaves the Beit HaBliya, it's as if it affected you at that moment, and therefore you're a rishon letumah. And of course, you can't be metame anything else as a rishon letumah in terms of kalim or begadim. That's for sure. Even though it is metame kalim and begadim, but it is not metame odam, and it's not metame klicheres. And these are specific halachas that we'll see later on as we go along. Fine. So now the question is, before the oaf tahar, which was not yet in the Beit HaBliya, so before it's swallowed, what is its halacha as a foodstuff? If it's a foodstuff, right? Let's say it's in a supermarket and it's packaged as bird's eye delicious chicken. Okay. As far as you're concerned, this is a piece of garbage of nivlas oif toha. Okay. But there's people that buy bird's eye chickens. So now, what would be the din of this oichlin? Now, this is an oichlin which is sofo letame tuma chamura. In the end, in the event that it were swallowed, it would be something that could actually be metame, begadim, and kalim through the adam. And the din is that something which is so full of tame tumachamura, first of all, does not require hechsher in order for it to be mekabel tumah from something else. And it doesn't require hechsher in the ultimate sense of hechsher, being actually mekabel tumah from anything in order for it to be metame, which means that it will be metame tuma kala, that is to say, it'll be tame tumas eichlin, even before you go ahead and swallow it. And therefore, it serves as a wonderful introduction to the concept bichlal of tumas eichlin and to this whole new idea of tahares. Now, it turns out that we identify 13 special halachas that are part of this concept of a nivlas oif tahar. Now, we'll see that this is a little bit misleading, and that's because we're going to include things that are not really said only legabi nivlas oif tahar, but that come along sort of agav the din of nivlas oif tahar. We're including them in these 13 things. Also, it's not 100% clear how to separate the 13 things into the 13 things that are going to be over the course of the next two Mishnayos. I guess we won't be able to finish today. But let's start and see how many we can get through and recognize why we're doing this and how choshev it is to understand these very special halachas at the beginning of our Masechet in the dinim of Nivlas Oif Tahar. Shlosha Asar Davar B'Nivlat Oif Tahar. So it means we have 13 special dinim to remember what are unique to Nivlas Oif. First of all, the din is that it needs machshava. Now, normally, anything which is a foodstuff doesn't need machshava. It's a food, it's bekapel tumah, as long, of course, as it was machshava kapel tumah. But in this case, in places where there's Jews, and they're not going to have anything to do with a bird's eye chicken. So there, it's not even considered to be food. In order for it to be considered food bichlal, it's not a oichlin automatically, unless you specifically decided that you're going to eat it. Normally, food is food. And therefore, if it's mekabel tumah, it's mekabel tumah. But over here, it would not even be mekabel tumah in a place. Now, the Gemara actually says that, when do we say this? We say this only in the shtetlach. In the shtetlach, there's nobody that's going to buy a nivlas of that is tame. But in the big city, where people buy anything and eat anything, so in there, you don't need makshava. So the special halacha, that in order for it to have a din of eichlin tameim, it has to first be called an eichlin, that's not true if it's in a krach, or if it's in a place where there's a supermarket that sells bird's eye chicken. So that's number one. Number two, eina tzricha hechsher. Normally, remember, if you have something that is edible and it is in touch with something tame, it's only going to be shayach to tuma if first it was exposed to one of the, I remember our simon, yad dam shachat, to one of the seven mashkin, and if flat, it's not considered to be a raw way to be makabel tuma foodstuff. But when it comes to nivas of hatahor, if it is in a place where it's used as food, or if the person in this place where it's not used as food has specific das to eat it, it automatically becomes tamei without any heksher. Now, the use of the word heksher is a little bit confusing. Why? Because we're used to the concept of heksher as referring to the exposure to liquid alone. However, heksher is used in two ways throughout the Gemara. There's the heksher for Kabbalah's tumah in terms of making it roy to be makabel tumah if it's touched by tumah. And then there's heksher tumah, that something will only become tamei if it actually touches something which is tamei. But in this case, it requires neither of those, because basically the klal is, and this should be a gavui klal, remember, Gavi, that any eichlin which is seife letame tum'a chamura, in the end, it is able to be metame as an avatuma, does not require heksher. Neither heksher of mashkin, nor heksher of touching other tuma. And since over here the nivlas oftar is going to be an avatuma, at the moment that it's in the beis ha'bliya, it's considered to be a tame ochlin. So it is the prime example of Tumas Eichlin. An Eichlin, which by the very virtue of the fact that it is an Eichlin, is automatically Tame, without Heksher Mashkin and without Heksher Tuma. So that is number two. The next thing.
But it's activated by Das, which reinforces Rebbe's point. Like the fact
of it's activated, but that's a lesser sense of Das than normal Tuma Das. The Das that it should be considered to be a piece of food, yeah. Number three. Okay, so again, number one is that it requires makshava. Number two, it does not require heksher of mayim or of tuma. Number three is that it would be mitame tumat ochlin bekebetza, so that if you have a shear of a kebetza, it would be mitame other foodstuffs and make them tame, even though it itself had never become tome on its own. The second thing now becomes a sheni latuma. So it's a rishon latuma, and a rishon can be metame a sheni. And number four is that this is uchezayit beveta blia. So this is all sort of one kind of thing. So as long as there is a kezayit beveta blia, that is enough to be metame the actual person. So that either it can be metame a tumas oichlin, but if it has a kezayis, so that requires a kebetza. But when it comes to the kezayit, a kezayit can also be metame, but not just by touching it. There, if it's in the Beit HaBliya, it will be metame, and then, of course, it's more than the tumas oichlin. Over there, it can be metame, as we saw before, it can be metame, even the tumas begonim. Wow. Now, additional special halachas, number 5, is that ha'ochla, if you do eat that kezayit, then you would actually need not only tefillah b'mikvah, but you would only become tahar after you are no longer a tful yom, because it says beferish, and he has to be v'tahar. So that means after going to the mikvah, you require ha'arev shemesh. Number 6 is that if you did eat such a thing, even now that you've already swallowed it, if you walked into the Beis HaMikdash, you would be chayev b'mezid, you would be chayev kores, and b'shogeg, you would be chayev a korban olah v'yoreh. So chayovin alea al bias migdash, and that would be 6. Number 7 is that if it touches truma, this is talking about where we're not swallowing it, but rather it's still just a tumas echlin, since it's considered to be tamei, and it's tamei as echlin tameim. So the moment that you have a shear of a kebetza, it's not that this is some kind of suffix, it's that it's actually metame tuma, truma, makes the truma a sheni, and truma that is sheni is actually chayev to be burnt. So it's not, no dinam of sveikas, and no tkula legabe, not being ma'abed truma. Okay, I think we should stop here because we're sort of over our time limit, but we've done 7 out of the 13 special halachas that are nageya, the 13 wonderful dinim of Nivlas Oiftar. Just to review, 1, we said it's not even a food unless somebody decides to eat it or it's in an area where people eat bird's eye chickens. 2, ein atzricha hechsher, not hechsher mashkim, and not hechsher tuma. 3, the shear of kibetza will be metame tumas oichlin, and of course this is a general rule. 4, a shear of less than a kibetza, a shear of just a kezayis, at the moment that it's in the Beis HaBliya, is metame as an avatuma, and it would be metame the adam, and it would be metame the begadim and the kelim that he touches. 5, it requires tefillah and even harev shemesh. 6 is that you're chayev on knis halamigdash, miniraisa, and you would be chayev to bring a korban oil of a yoreh. 7 is that it is a tuma vada'it that turns truma into sheni, and therefore the truma has to be burned. A fine beginning to a marvelous new world of pure tyrus. Okay, Rabosai, so we are continuing the amazing Mishnah that is using the din of a Nivlas Of HaTohar as an incredible paradigm for the concept of Tumas Oichlin, because it's the only Tuma Chamura which an Oichlin has, and surprisingly, it has it only through your consumption of it. Wow, that's amazing. And this, remember, was an astonishing new halacha of an avela that is not metame b'marga, not metame b'masa, and it is metame, however, in a very chomor way, during the brief time that it is being swallowed by a person who is swallowing it. The shear is the shear of achila, but the act is the act of swallowing. And at that instant of swallowing, anything of begodim that a person would be touching, and obviously eichlin or mashkin, and that type of kalim that are similar to begodim, they would all become tamei, because it would be as if that of tahar was being metame them benevela directly. The moment that the swallowing is finished, the person remains affected by the fact that he had been swallowing, and therefore he becomes Rishon Latuma, but he's no longer able to be metame begadim, obviously. A rishon of tuma is only metame the oichlin umashkin. So there were 13 things, and we had listed yesterday 7 of them. Let's just review them, because this is a mishnah that comes up all over Shas, and it's something that is very, very useful and powerful to remember. The first thing that we had is that before something that is not kosher is considered to be a food at all, is if you decided that it's going to be eaten, unless you are in an area that has supermarkets that sell this type of thing. So that's called number one, tzricha makshava. Number two, as opposed to normal oichlim, which require 2 steps in order for them to become tameh, it requires heksher with mashkim, those are the shiva mashkim, and then it has to be touched by something tameh. Our nivrat of tahor does not require either of those steps. It does not need heksher mashkim, and it does not need heksher tuma, but rather because of the din of any food that is going to be mitame sofo letame tuma chamura, is automatically considered to be an ochlin, which is now actually tame, even though they haven't even come in touch with tuma. The third thing was that it has a shear of being metame tuma seichlin with 1 kibbeitza. And remember, that's a big machlokas, Rashi and Taismus, which many other Rishonim get involved in. Does that mean kibbeitza in order to be metame acherim? Or does it mean kibbeitza even in order to be makabel tuma at all? So it still needs that din of kibbeitza, but the shiur that makes it tame in the act of swallowing is only a kezias, because the Torah called it the ochel. And ochel, a shiur is a kezias. Nonetheless, it's nefesh, and nefesh is only the another of a nefesh b'shas, the melia. Number 5, it demands actual haref shemesh before the person is considered to be tahor. And so long as he did not go and wait until the night, if he had been, and this is number 6, if he had been nichlas the migdash, he would have been chayev, a korban, olav yored, if he did it b'shogeg, and chayev kores, if he did it b'mezid. And the 7th thing that we learned yesterday was that if some of this touches, now we're not talking about where the person touches, we're talking about some of this nevela, it's considered to be tamei, and it's tamei enough to be mitamei truma. And therefore, it's real trumas oichlin, even without hersher, and even without touching anything tamei, and therefore, if truma just touches it, it is machayev you to burn that truma. All right, that's what we got up to yesterday. Now we're up to number 8. Now this number 8 actually is really a machlokas. And we're presenting, the Mishnah is presenting the din the way the Mishnah sees it. And that is that Rabbi Meir, who holds that there's no din of Eivor Min HaChai unless it's an Eivor Min HaChai from a Behemah Tahira, is wrong. And the Mishnah paskins that if somebody would eat an Eivor Min HaChai from an oaf that was a Nivlas of Tahar, he would be Chayev. Here, obviously, it's not a Nevela. Here, it's still alive. Otherwise, it's not Eivor Min HaChai. But if that same thing that had it died would have been a Nivlas of Tahar, if you take an Eivor Min HaChai while it's alive, as opposed to Rabbi Meir Shita, you would be Sofega to Arba'im, which means that there's Halacha even on Ofot. That's number 8. Now, number 9, the question is like this. You are obviously going to be eating Isser Trefas if you did a Shechita of something that was Trefa. By Trefa, of course, we mean that it had one of these 70 or so Trefas that would be able to be included in the Isser Trefa. Okay, the Pashas, of course, the word of Trefa is that an animal had gone out and had attempted to kill it. But remember, we've got all of the various Trefot, different stories of lung malfunctioning, holes in the lung, illnesses in the lung, liver, kidney, whatever the case was. You didn't know that. You went ahead and shechted it. Then it turned out to be a Trefa. when you open it up and you're about to cook it, you realize there's a hole in the lung. The din over there is that a shechita cancels the iser of the veil. So that once you have a treifa that was shechted, it is no longer a nevela, even though it was a treifa at the time of the shechita. So then what that would mean is that if you shechted this kosher oaf, and it's not kosher to eat because it was a treifa, it is not called a nevela. So that's called shechita is mitaheret midei nevela. Now, what about if it's not a chulin bird? What if it's an actual Kodesh bird and it turns out to be a treifa? If you shecht a Kodesh bird, the shechita doesn't do anything. In order to make a Kodesh bird roi for achila, or roi for the mizbeach, you would need to do malika. Well, malika on a Kodesh bird is the full equivalent of shechita on a chulin bird. And therefore, surprisingly, even though the act of malika itself would normally turn a bird into a nevela, because you're cutting it the back of its neck, which is like total nevela, you know. But in this case, the fact that you did the malika is actually what makes it kosher in terms of not being a nivlas of tahar. And therefore, it would be exactly as if you had shechted the kosher bird that was chulin. And therefore, aliyah b'der Rebbe Meir, shechitata umalikata, depending on whether it is chulin or kodesh, respectively, would be mitayer the nevela, mitayer the treifa from ever becoming a nevela, and therefore it would not be called a nivlas of tahar. So says Rebbe Meir. So we're going to see that we're going to have a three-way machlokas where the issue revolves around the idea of the mokar, as the Gemara in Tzvachim talks out, the mokar of the nimud, of how we know that this would be true by a bird. Because the Torah doesn't say anywhere anything, the feirish, about the din of the shechita of a bird being matayer, it's treifa. But Rabbi Meir says it's a kal v'chomer. If even a nivlat behema, a nivlat behema is much more chomer than the nevel of a bird. Because a nivlat behema is mitame b'magol b'masa. And we learn out from a pasuk that if you shecht it, then it never becomes a nevela, and it's never metame. So kol shekein, says Rabbi Meir, if you have a nivlas ha'ov, which is not metame b'magol b'masa, it's only metame b'beit ablia. So kol shekein, you would be actually metire its nevela by doing the shechita. Now, how do we know that the same thing is true about malika? That, says Rabbi Meir, we learn out from a mamatzinu. Just like mamatzinu b'shechita, that shechita is makshir, and if it's not a treifa, you can eat it. And if it is a treifa, it's matayim de nevela. So too do we find by a bird. Treifa, the shechita would be makshir if it's not a treifa, and it's matayim de nevela. That's the pashtas of Rabbi Meir's limud. Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't believe that you can learn the dinim of oaf from behema at all. They're two completely different sets of halachas, and einan mitaharot, they are not affected. Not the malika, not the shechita, will not affect it. It will remain a din of nevela. And there's no motzi'in midei nevela through either shechita or malika. Rabbi Yossi says, well, I would say that it depends. Shechita, yes. Malika, no. Why? Because since we're learning this din from the kal v'chomer that I mentioned earlier of Rabbi Meir, which is that if a nivlas behema, which is mitame b'magol b'masa, you could be mitayeret through shechita. So kol shekein, you could be mitayeret nivlas ha'iftar through shechita. Yes, I agree to that. But remember that there's a din when you learn out anything from a kal v'chomer, which is called Dayo. Dayo lavo min adin liyot kinidon. You cannot derive more information than you put in. And since the basis of the information is the din of Nivlas Behema, and Nivlas Behema does not have any kind of concept of Malika, So you'd have to say, Dayolavomina din liot kinita. Just like by a behema, it's shrita and not malika. So too, by the oaf, we can only learn out shrita, and we cannot learn out malika. Now, the truth is that according to Rabbi Meir, this should be a tiyufta, because Rabbi Meir holds of dayo all over. So why over here does he not hold of dayo? That's because, in fact, it turns out that Rabbi Meir has an actual limud that compares the din of behema va'of, and he doesn't require a kal v'chomer. And what was that? In the end, Rabbi Meir was semech on zot torat ha-behema va'of. So since the Torah made a hekesh ha-behema va'of, he's not stuck with a kal v'chomer, and therefore is not limited by dayo. But in Rabbi Yossi's opinion, the original way we understood Rabbi Meir, that it's based on the kal v'chomer, is correct. And he doesn't use the hekesh of behema va'of to tell me these dinim, and therefore we're stuck with dayo. That concludes the first 9 things that we know about nivlat of ha-tahor in the sugyas addressed in the first Mishnah. Now, the second Mishnah is involved in a more complex and less clear issue. In order to talk about those issues, we need a brief introduction to remind you of something that you know very well, because we've discussed so often in terms of other dinim of Tumah v'Tahara all over. But remember that there are 3 different dinim when it comes to something that is unedible, when it comes to something that would be metame or metame for some other reason. There's the thing itself, in this case, the edible itself. And then there's the extension through which you could be makabel tumah. When you're talking about an edible item, it's also through which you can be makabel tumah on the thing. So let's take a look at a piece of meat that has a bone sticking out of it. And now you're eating this steak, and you're holding it by the bone. The bone itself is not really a foodstuff, and therefore it would not be able to be makabel tumah directly. However, it is a way to hold on to the meat. That gives it a din of a yad. And a yad, as we're going to learn in Uktzin, a yad is an effective way of transmitting tumah. So it can go through the yad into the person who's touching it and be metameim, or if the person is tame, it can go through the yad and be metame the meat from the person. So in either direction, a yad is a conductor of tumah. However, it's only a conductor of tumah. It cannot be added to the actual shear. So it's a conductor, and it's metame or mitame, but it is not mitstaref. And therefore, if you don't have a shear of tumah, then it's not going to be able to turn it into something that's going to have a shear of tumah. But then we have another din. Another din is called shomer. So there are things which will not be able to support a thing, and it's not something that you use to hold onto it, but it is something that is protective. So let's say you got the shell of a nut. Okay, the shell of a nut is something that will protect the nut inside. And because of that, it also is mitstaref with the shear. So not only would you not be able to say, well, I didn't touch the edible portion of the nut, I only touched the shell, that's not going to help you, because the shell is a shomer on the nut. And furthermore, even if you say, but there wasn't a kezias in the nut, but if you add the shell there was, then in fact, you would have been metame the entire thing. And somebody who would touch mashkin to that would be metame the mashkin through the shell too. So that would mean that there's a tremendous difference to the 3 different ways. Okay, so the shomer and the thing itself are all part of the shear, as a yad isn't, but all 3 of them can be metame through maga. So now, this Mishnah is focused on the different parts of the nivlas ha'of in terms of their being able to either be mitzdaref or at least to be mevi tuma. So let's take a look at what these are. The knafayim and the notza. So knafayim are large feathers. Notza is down, right? Downy feathers. Both of them are actually able to be mitamot or mitamot. So they are referring, we're talking right now not about the nevela yet. We're talking about a kosher bird that was shechted. It's not tameh, but somebody tameh touches the feathers. Will that be mitameh the bird? Or in the event that the bird is tameh, what if something other Oichlin or Mashkim touch the feathers? Well, both the knafayim, that's number 10. We're going to see that there's a machlokas, the Rambam, and the other shitas. I'm going to tell it to you now like everybody else, and then we'll go through the Rambam's way of reading it. So the knafayim is number 10, and the notza is number 11. And that is both of these things are able to be transferring of tumah. And even though you obviously can't eat feathers, nonetheless, they're considered to be yodais. But they are not mitzdarfot because they're yodais and they're not shemrim. And only yodais are mitzdarif. So if there wasn't the shear of a kibetza, the actual meat of the bird, so then there's not going to be too much ochlin. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, I disagree. I say that the notsa, which is the downy feathers, are actually protective. And since they're protective, they're considered to be a shomer, and they are mitztarev. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shmuel, there's a nafkamina between number 10 and number 11. The feathers are not mitztarev. But number 11 would be that the notza is mitztarev. Now let's talk about other parts of a bird. So a bird also has a beak, and a bird also has these nails at the end of its feet. So those areas have a transitional part in which there is meat. It's like at the bottom of your human nail. At the very bottom of the nail, you've got some very sensitive tissue that is forming the keratin. And if it's cut, it bleeds. So the same thing is true of the beak, where the beak is forming and is connected to the rest of the body. And the same thing is true of the nails or the claws, you would call it, I guess, of the bird. And therefore that part, which is actually edible, that is going to also be mitamim or mitamim. And because of that, they are also mitstarfim with the actual shear. See, even though they're not eaten on their own, but if a piece is left on a piece of a chicken, they're eaten together with the meat of the chicken, so they're considered, therefore, to be mitzarfim. So this is yet another way, so to speak, of needing to deal with the difference between the actual meat, the shomer of the meat, the yad of the meat, and then parts of the meat which are meat when they're together with the rest of the meat, but on their own would not be considered to be a foodstuff. Rabbi Yossi Omer, so that would be number 12, would be the chartom, and number 13, which would conclude our list of the Yud Gimel Dvarim, would be the tziponayim. Rabbi Yossi Omer, af roshei agapayim v'roshei hazanav mitztarfim. I disagree, and I believe that since shekein manichin bepatumot, sometimes birds are fattened. And when they are specifically fattened, they're force-fed, then even the wing tips and the tail tip is actually becomes edible because of the way in which the fat gathers around them. And there, after you pluck the feathers, you will eat those parts. Even though if it was just a normal bird that wasn't a specially fattened bird, it's true that those are also cut off and are not usually eaten. But when you're talking about a putumot, you'd have to include the areas that supported those thick feathers, and they would therefore also be considered to be meat. And since in a case of a putumot, it's considered to be meat, it's considered to be meat minarabonan, in order that people shouldn't get confused, it's considered to be meat minrabbanan in the sense of the chumrah to be mitzarefet, and therefore, according to him, there's an additional issues that need to be spoken about, which would make it more than Yud Gimel Dvar. Okay, Rabosai, that gives us our full complement of the Yud Gimel Dvarim, and we're going to see the opposite of the Yud Gimel Dvarim tomorrow in the Nivlas of Tamei. All of this is very important, Tachonis. Remember, it comes right after Purah. So Purah is that transition. Now we've gotten rid of all of those Tumas Chamurais, and now we're ready to get into the world of Tyrus. And so, I guess we couldn't be zeicher to the full Geula until we get to Sefer Tyrus, to Sefer Tyrus, at least Maseches Tyrus, so that we'll be able to be living in a Nichnas L'Beis HaMikdash with a Achila. So we should be zeicher Bezrat Hashem to what Tyrus is all about. The Knesa to the Mikdash. All right, good kol tov, everyone. Have a great day. It's an exciting new beginning.